Hey, Omers, and welcome to our fourth episode of Podyssey of the Mind, the podcast all about the creative problem-solving competition Odyssey of the Mind. My name is Ryan Bolton, and I'm coming to you from the Pennsylvania State Association. And this week, we're crossing borders for the first time. We have with us the coaches of two teams from Long Beach, New York, which is out on Long Island, Mr. Justin Sulsky and Mr. Doug McConnell. And Mr. Sulsky and Mr. Mack brought along several of their Division I team members in fourth and fifth grade to be a part of the conversation. So not only will you get the two coaches' perspectives, you'll also get to hear from the students themselves about what they've learned from Odyssey of the Mind. I have to admit, I was a little nervous about how many people were calling into this Zoom call when we recorded the podcast, but it went so well. We had such a good conversation, and it was really cool to get so many different voices involved with Podyssey of the Mind. So without any further ado, here's this week's episode. Mr. Mack and Mr. Sulsky, are you ready?
We're ready, but is the world ready?
And I guess the world is a good place to start right now because your coaches from Long Beach, yes, in New York, we're crossing state lines from Pennsylvania. Of course, you are a neighbor. It's kind of neat to be meeting new coaches and Omers that I normally would never have the chance to meet. And I understand your team competed in the virtual world finals. So the world was apparently ready for them. Tell us a little bit about how that journey went and how they did.
This was an amazing experience. We actually were able to compete in the regional tournament here on Long Island, and New York City teams competed. And both teams finished first, for one for Division One Problem 3 and one for Division One Problem 5. And we were very excited to attend the state tournament up in Binghamton. However, about a week after we won our competitions for regionals, we were told that schools were going to be closed for the 2 weeks following the COVID pandemic. And since then, obviously, we all know what has happened since. And we got to have a final practice, or what we thought was a final practice, and pretty much say goodbye to one another. And the kids were celebrating their accomplishments, but again, they kind of felt like they needed a little bit more, and they wanted to go and compete and stay together as the team and family that we are. And once we found out that there was the virtual world finals, we contacted Dr. Romanelli, who jumped in and supported us, and our district backed us, and we were able to compete. And the kids have gone above and beyond, to the point that we would have a meeting weekly, and the kids would send us their ideas, send us their videos, and myself and Mr. Sulsky would call each other after and say, "Oh my God, these kids are amazing. We couldn't even have done anything better." And we're grown-ups teachers. They really just did an amazing job.
Yeah, it is interesting how the technology has really enabled everybody to be able to do things remotely. I was thinking back to when I competed in, it would have been late 90s, early 2000s. There's no way we could have done something like this.
Right.
It was pretty incredible.
Yeah, and I mean, just in general, thinking about the technology piece, if this would have happened 20 years further, not just with Odyssey, but with education itself, it would have been in trouble. But all of our kids are very well connected. We're lucky that we're in a district where they're able to distribute Chromebooks one-on-one, so every single child had access. And, you know, we were talking about considering doing the spontaneous just to kind of keep the kids energized, keep the kids together. And then it was kind of like icing on the cake that they actually said, okay, there's going to be a virtual world finals. And like Mr. Mack said, we emailed Dr. Romanelli, and immediately, without hesitation, he's like, sure, go for it, do it. And then we've been working on our goal. And as you shared, the kids and us succeeded at that goal.
Right. And now we keep talking about your assistant superintendent there, Dr. Romanelli. He's actually on the call with us right now. He's jumped in to watch and give his support, which is, it's really tremendous to see that kind of support from the administration, because I know that's a challenge for a lot of schools and memberships to have that support. So we definitely appreciate that.
Well, we have the best students in Long Beach and the best coaches, and we love Odyssey of the Mind. You know, one of our big focuses this year in the district was innovation, and been trying to you know, encourage people to answer questions that you can't Google and make questions you can't Google. And Odyssey of Mind is a perfect example of that. So thank you for saying that.
Yeah, absolutely. We definitely appreciate the support there. Now, so both of you are also teachers, correct? So you've also been having to do instruction virtually in a, besides above and beyond the Odyssey of the Mind team. And you both got started then with Odyssey of the Mind. How long ago was that?
When did we team up, Mr. Sosky? Mr. Sosky has been, I'll let you take this one.
Okay.
Yeah, I guess I'm a little bit of the Odyssey historian here. No. So it's very interesting because there was a Patch article that in 2011 said that an Odyssey of the Mind team from Long Beach went to state finals for 25 years. And I confirmed it with the previous coach that there have been teams that went since 2011 through 2020. So both Mr. Mack and I took over a program that had very high expectations. And I started in 2015, and then Mr. Mack and I were teamed in 2016. And I joked with him and with the kids because I'm currently studying for my doctorate in educational leadership. And so I'm going to bore the kids for a little bit. And I was rereading for my oral exam. I had to go through all my old like leadership 101 classes. And I read Bowman and Deal and talked about what makes a successful team. And when I was reading that, I was just thinking of Mr. Mack and me. We have different skill sets, different personalities, but we respect each other. We're able to have comfort in delegating responsibilities to each other. And hopefully that's a good model for the kids.
Sure. So you were either of you involved with the program before this or no? You both started as coaches.
To be honest with you, I taught in the city for 8 years and we did not have a program like this. And my second year teaching in Long Beach is when I started coaching and I just fell in love with the program. I was asked to attend a practice one day just to see what the program was about, and just seeing the children work together and come up with their own ideas and they're using their creativity was something I wanted to be a part of. My background really, as far as leadership goes, came in coaching. I've coached both rugby and soccer, played at a national level in both competitions. And I take a lot of my coaching style from, say, a field where we focus a lot on teamwork and team practices.
Okay, so then it must have been you had the learning curve, though, coming into, of course, you know, coaching and their skills that I'm sure you already had that translated, but kind of tell us about how was that first year and what maybe were some of the things you learned and some of the things you'd pass along to other coaches who might be getting started.
The number one thing that I learned is rely on your partner. I'll never forget sitting with Justin at States and him kind of elbowing me and saying, you haven't seen anything yet. And just taking me along that ride of guiding me as far as what the program was all about and learning on the fly. This is a program where you need to trust the children. Number one, beyond anything else, you need to trust these kids. These kids are some of the greatest children in the world. It's an honor to be their coach and an honor to work with them throughout the school year. And that's probably the number one source of advice I would give would be to trust your kids. You know, we're here to guide them as their coaches. We're not here to do for them, but we're here to assist. And that conversation that you have at practice that child then brings home and takes to that next level is where you're impressed the next week when they come in with something beautiful. One of our teams really focused on costumes. Another team focused on musical ability. And what they were able to do is something me as an adult would probably take me 6 months to do. And they did it in the course of a week. The last piece of information is Odyssey of the Mind is not just a school activity. It is a community activity where you do rely on the coaches and the children a lot. However, having that bond or that bridge with the parents is vital. Having a cohesive team where myself and Mr. Solsky, the kids and the parents, we're working together. It's not, well, Mr. Solsky and Mr. Mack said, or my mom and dad said, it's all of us working together to support one another and to support the children. We have text messages, emails, phone calls going back and forth, parental meetings. All these things are ways to support the kids inside the community, and the product they put out is phenomenal. We actually have The way we do it, Ryan, in Long Beach, just to go off topic slightly, we have our long-term problem, which is coached by myself and Mr. Salsky. We also coach some spontaneous skills within our practices. However, we do ask to have a parent coach each year for each team. And Adam Bergstein is actually here with us as well. And he focused on the spontaneous portion with our problem three teams. And is Mr. Palma here? And Charlotte's mom is here as well, I believe, Jen DePalma. And she coached team five on her spontaneous. So without them, it could never happen.
Yeah, it really goes to show it takes a village. And it shows, of course, in Odyssey of the Mind, the students are learning about teamwork. And teamwork is something that even to run the program, even to start a team, you need a team of people to help. Mr. Solsky, did you have any, I don't know, were there any mistakes or anything along bumps in the road that first year that like maybe a red flag you could pass along to somebody else who would be getting started?
For the record, I wasn't with him the first year. I had a different partner.
Ah.
Well, I had a lot of anxiety coming in to the 15-16 school year because I was new to the district as a whole. So I was coming from a previous district. They just hired me as a teacher of the gifted and school-wide enrichment. And as part of the interview process, after I was officially hired for that, I received an email from one of the interviewers. Hi, do you want to do Odyssey of the Mind? And I actually never heard of it until that point. I didn't do it. And Dr. Linelli mentioned Long Beach being a district of innovation. I know you're not really familiar with Long Island, but I went to a district that is considered very high performing on Long Island, and we didn't have Odyssey of the Mind. And to me, all the skills the kids do, like if their parents or even if their teachers had to open up that problem guide that explains what they have to do on those six pages, I think that no one would believe it. So to get back to your question, I had no previous Odyssey experience. Like Mr. Mack relied on me. I relied on my co-coach that year who, had a baby. So understandably, she moved on to do other things. And I relied on the previous co-coach before me. She spent a lot of time, quote unquote, coaching me. And still to this day, like if things come up, especially when we started qualifying for Worlds, when that was new to me, it's not usual that an elementary group of children flies on a plane to Michigan. So I kind of was walked through the process by the previous co-coach a little bit. And also administrative support is really important, not just administrator like Dr. Romanelli, but secretarial staff. And Mr. Mack and Dr. Romanelli know that we nominated and she won the Omer Award in New York State, Dr. Romanelli's secretary, Pat Carlucci, because she goes above and beyond. And without her, we wouldn't get to do things like travel and get the hotel. And, so the kids don't know that, they don't need to know that. But on our end, we know kind of the community that causes our teams to be so successful. Thinking back to my first year, I think that I would get very anxious whenever there was any type of communication from parents because it's a brand new program. And I remember my first year, this was before Mr. Mack, one of the style elements was that you had to decorate a sock. And so again, we structured things a little bit more differently with Mr. Mack, because I guess this is an example of me learning and growing. So we thought it would be a good idea to have the kids decorate the sock component of the costume on their own and then have a team discussion and choose which is the most decorative sock. And two children had decorative socks. The team decided one was more decorative than the other. And then that parent sent an email, very upset. How could we not choose her sock? She worked so hard on it. And, in retrospect, a book in our district, I haven't read it yet, but I want to, that Dr. Owenelli knows, is The Gift of Failure. So like it was a learning opportunity. Like, okay, like how'd you make the sock better? But now, again, live and learn. And now with Mr. Mack, we decide these things ahead of time. So rather than have multiple kids working on a component at home and then kind of see which is better, decided ahead of time. So that's just one little lesson that I learned my first year.
Now, the virtual world finals was one thing, and you mentioned going to Michigan. How many times have you, the two of you as a duo, gone to world finals? And what are maybe some of the, what are some of the stories or some of the funny things that happened along the way?
Well, we've been together for 4 years and we now have four teams that have competed in world finals, two of them virtually and two of them live. myself and Justin joke that it's an every other year thing and we only go to Michigan because we haven't been to Iowa yet. However, I know this both these teams would have presented well and we would have been there this year. The best part of Worlds, Ryan, by far, without a doubt, and I say it to my wife all the time, is I wish my daughter could have the experience of traveling and meeting people from different cultures and being able to walk up to them and talk to them. I'll never forget mine and Justin's first year in Michigan, where we were with a group of children, they were all fifth graders that year, and they literally just walked up to a group of kids from the Chinese team. They did not speak the same language, and they were able to communicate with one another enough to trade pins. They stood there for about a half an hour, just going back and forth, and were able to communicate and work out a deal. And in the world today, to see kids being able to do that, it just makes you feel better. It gives you that sense of hope that, you know, this generation of children, we're going to be okay. And being able to travel and get to know the students is amazing. Every year I joke with the students that are in my class that are also in OM. Who do we have this year? We have Kate. Kate was in my class last year, Jordan Soriano and Marin Miola, and they're in my fifth grade class. And we always joke, we're going to go on vacation together. Wouldn't we go on to the competition such as States or Worlds because we're staying in a hotel. And it just adds that family piece for the team. These kids truly are a family. We're talking, you know, it's amazing. And I'm going to ask them to speak later on about it if we have time.
I was going to say even now that you gave them the shout out and we have those homers who are your students and also on your team. Do any of you have anything that sticks out from going to World Finals and the stories that we're talking about?
Well, actually, Ryan, we have Aaliyah Trichter went to World Finals. She was the first person from Long Beach to attend World Finals 2 years in a row, her and Mr. Jordy Perez, who's not with us today. So, Aaliyah, is there anything you can share about 2 years in a row?
It was really exciting going twice because, like, it's actually like a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, but I guess it's twice-in-a-lifetime opportunity now. It's just like seeing all the other kids that, like, you have no idea who they are, and they're all from different cultures and stuff. And you're able to communicate with them and stuff and, like, trade pins, and that's really fun to do. But I guess we didn't get to do that this year, which was kind of sad.
Well, now, and you're mentioning the pins, and the pins come up apparently every episode now. I keep saying we should do a podcast just about pins. Aaliyah, what was what's one of your favorite pins that, or one of your favorite stories about meeting another team?
I actually don't have a favorite pin because I have a lot of pins. But one thing that I know is that Hamiltons are very popular. Like, a lot of people want to trade for Hamiltons a lot.
All right. So there's the inside scoop on the pin market.
And Ryan, if I could just add, you know, talking about the family piece that I keep on bringing up, who from Problem 3 would like to share what you guys did overnight? One night, you guys had a what on virtual? You guys told me about it. You guys know what I'm talking about? I see Aaliyah laughing. Jordan, can you share?
Yeah. So we were really missing each other since quarantine. So we had a little virtual sleepover, where we kind of just did like a Netflix party, which is you can watch movies together even if you're not together actually. So it was really fun. We were all eating popcorn and stuff, and it actually felt like we were actually having a sleepover, so that was a fun time.
I think it's important that Odyssey of the Mind, it's not just, you know, we're talking about all these skills and building skills, and but it's also the social aspect, right? It's being a part of a team and bonding as a team, and that's something that's important as well. Mr. Solsky, is there anything that you have from World Finals before we get off of that topic that stuck out to you?
I mean, talking about a sense of belonging, as I said, I didn't have Odyssey of the Mind in my own school. And I felt like if I did have Odyssey of the Mind as an elementary student and a middle school student, I would have had a stronger sense of belonging. So I just remember in 2017, our first time at Michigan, it was actually coming back. Just taking the yellow school bus back from LaGuardia Airport, sitting on a bus with Mr. Mack and with 7 kids and their parents, and just being so grateful that I had an opportunity, that I saw firsthand what the kids gained from it. And truthfully, you know, we always joke with the kids, or at least, you know, we joke with the kids that deep down, you know, I probably got a little bit more excited about Odyssey than the kids sometimes, because it just gives me a place where I can be myself. And
they're all nodding their heads and laughing right now. So,
and that goes back to, you know, Dr. Minnelli being on this call, like the Long Beach Public Schools allows teachers to teach like themselves. That's a book by Gravity Goldberg. And I remember, I don't think it was this team, but it was 2 or 3 years ago, no one from this team. In 2018, we did an 80s themed Peter Pan. And so I remember pulling up from the sitcom How I Met Your Mother, the song Let's Go to the Mall, and just like dancing with the kids, like having fun. And like, I was, again, it was such a special moment. And sorry, I'm a little bit long-winded, but to get back to, like many Olmers, no, but to get back to the,
You have more than 8 minutes on this one, so okay. You can be long-winded. It's okay.
Right. No points deduction.
Exactly.
So as I said, you know, like just the culmination, and I'm not even talking about the awards ceremony. I'm just talking about like, just like the end of it, you know, because it was the end of a long weekend, you know, and just coming back and just feeling such a sense of satisfaction and a sense of belonging.
Now you both were mentioning spontaneous a little bit and how you have parents help with that. What's something, and either from the two of you or from one of the students, that's like a really important spontaneous tip or advice to master spontaneous? Because of course the long-term presentation, the skit always seems to take up the most amount of time of practice, and some teams don't realize how important spontaneous can be. So,
all right, before anybody jumps in, I'm going to throw this to the kids, but before we do that, this is for the coaches that are listening, all you new coaches out there. My number one tip for a spontaneous competition is to breathe and relax. Because when children go in to compete in the spontaneous portion of it, they are told, do not tell your coach, do not tell your parents, do not tell other teammates what you guys did in this room. So it is so, I get so anxious because we know how hard the children work. And with subjective judges, the children go in and they do their best and we're proud of them either way. But when you don't know what happened in that room and you want the best for the kids because they deserve it, it does get to you a little bit. It is a little nerve-wracking.
Right. And I'm sure it's certainly nerve-wracking as an Omer too. I mean, I remember we would joke, oh, we're not nervous, we're just hungry. But we always had butterflies in our stomach when we were doing spontaneous. Does anybody who's on the team have any sort of spontaneous story about?
Ryan, can we throw it to Trooper up in the corner there?
Oh, yeah, definitely. He's raising his hand.
His nickname comes from a spontaneous. So, Ben, can you share what happened? Just keep it. Make sure, Ben, we keep it real, okay?
Okay, so my nickname is Trooper for OM because I have been known to get really, really sick right before spontaneous and the long term and just kind of have like a breakdown, but I still push through. And my advice for people who do OM is it's going to be okay. Everything's going to be fine after spontaneous, once everything is done, after the judges like give the scores and everything, you can tell what happened. And there's always a break room right before spontaneous where you can always practice just to be prepared. But really, it only is 5 of us. And like, it's really sometimes simple questions. It's not that hard. You just got to think. And sometimes smarter, not harder. And sometimes just make connections too. And if you make connections about what's going on and what you do, it will really help you a lot.
Now Ben has gotten a few chances to compete in spontaneous. Was there anybody that would like to speak, maybe Emilio or Shane, I see you down there, that would like to share? Shane, you want to share your first experience this year?
I don't know. It was like really nerve-wracking. I'm like, Mom, I'm so nervous. This is my first time at OM. I would freak out. I would go to bed. I could not sleep. My mind was rushing like crazy. There were like, I could like feel my bloodstream going through my brain and out. It was the most stressful thing ever. Like, I'm thinking about simultaneous, the long term. What am I going to say? What am I going to do? I'm so nervous.
All right.
Right before, like, everything that happened in OM, right before it, I could not sleep. Like, that's a fact. I will literally take
Get it on my face. We got it, Shana. Right. Just so you know, in our long-term problem, Shana played the role as an over-the-top coach. I don't know if you can see that.
And she didn't pick that up from either of you, though, did she?
Maybe a little.
So that's a bit more about spontaneous then, and we've kind of talked about long term. What about style? What does it take for style and filling out that form, and then also making sure that you're satisfying the requirements that style is asking for? That's another thing. I don't know if all the teams really, you know, especially starting out, it's like just another one more thing on the long list of things to worry about. But what are some kind of style tips, perhaps?
I can go to Emilio. I saw his hand was up because he did a big style piece of his problem.
Emilio, can you explain what your piece was?
So for the style elements, my part was the puppets. So we started off to construct the puppets. I was starting off being a bunch of duct tape. I was duct taped to a bunch of poles. So we watched this America's Got Talent video for a little bit of inspiration, and we saw these like puppets that could move. So then we tried doing something a little bit similar but a lot different at the same time. So to construct our puppets, we put packing peanuts in like pants and shirts that we didn't need anymore. Then we tied the wrists and the legs to PVC pipe that was attached to ropes. Then we had like these little straps to secure them on my body. And then we put the straps around my ankles and my arms. And then when I walked, the puppets did the same motion that I was doing.
It came out looking really, really great. Ryan, we also tried to have the kids focus on using recycled materials this year as well. If we could go to Little General, is her nickname. She is the person that we have counted on throughout the year to keep the team on point for problem three. And the name speaks for itself. She may be little in stature, but she commands the room. So, Sydney, what do you got? Can you tell about your style element?
For style, one of our style elements, well, both of them were costume because we used, like, we basically took garbage and then we made it into these amazing costumes, basically. One of them was Dorito bags, and we made it into, like, this giant fish costume. And basically, mine was, like, I was a queen, so I had, like, this giant dress, and it looked like I was catching garbage with a net, except it was all over my dress. And so basically the judges liked that because we were using creative materials.
The judges didn't only like it, Ryan. They received the top score in the world. We were the top in style points for the Problem 3 Division 1 and also the top in spontaneous for that same team. So don't sell yourself short there, Sid.
So basically for style, you should probably just to pick the style element, probably just pick the one that you think the judges would like the most or the judges would think is the most creative part. Like, for our style element, we didn't just, like, write the queen's costume. We wrote the creative use of materials in her costume. So we kind of worded it differently so that they can really know which part we wanted scored.
Right. I've judged style before, and it is so important from a judging perspective that you – are very specific about that, because you don't want the judges to question, oh, well, which costume was it? Or what? Or maybe they'll miss something if you're not very specific about it. So that is a very important point.
And another style element that we dealt with this year was the villain's costume in the problem three, the effective detective. Jordan, would you like to share what you did for as the villain?
My costume was made out of paint cards that flip up and down, just like sequins. And it was really hard at first because they wouldn't stay up, and you kind of just have to put a lot in a row. And it took a lot and a lot of trial and error. And at some point, we couldn't decide what was on the back. And it was really complicated, but we pulled it together like a week before. And I think it was a really good costume and use of paint cards.
And I don't know if Dustin wants to talk about it, because for Problem 5, a big part of style was the original song that he created. So I don't know if Dustin would like to speak to that.
So the original song, well, so how I got it was, so I'm an Nisma and I hear vocal. And so for the start of my song, there was this catchy tune and I liked it. So when I played it, one of the notes kind of sounded like, I mean, some of the song kind of sounded like our song that some of our teammates made. And when I played it, I was like, maybe I can use some of the notes to make it sound like it. And then my grandma, my mom, whatever, and when I showed them to it, they were like, and then I played the song, they were like, this sounds pretty similar. And then, yeah. And then I played it the next day and I brought my keyboard. And then my team said that they liked it. And then I'm like, well, that's a song.
Yeah, that's a good point, that sometimes style, we think it's like always something physical, like a prop or a backdrop or a costume, because oftentimes it is, right? And and yet something like a song or an idea could be a style element.
Mm-hmm. Ryan, that goes into what myself and Justin do from the first practice. The first, very first practice that we have, the first thing we ask is, what are your talents? What can you guys do? What are you good at? What are you interested in? And then we go on to talk, what are they experts in, or what are they masters in? You know, well, the example that Mr. Sosky always gives is, if you've played the recorder in third grade and you've only had 10 practices, there's a difference between knowing how to play a song and being proficient at something. And that's what's something that I love being the coach, being one of the coaches, is that finding the talents of the kids. I have a few of you who I rip my hair out. For anybody that can't see is just listening, I'm bald, because we will get to about a week before the performance and they'll say to me, Mr. Mack, did you know that I'm a medalist in the violin? And the violin would have fit perfectly in within our skit. And they just forgot to tell me that. Or I'm walking through the hallway and all of a sudden one of my students is playing the piano and they never mentioned it. And it's a week before the performance. But that's part of the program, and that's what's the nice thing about working with fourth and fifth graders, because when we learned these skills in fourth grade, we can then apply them in fifth. Jordan.
Right, that's a good point for, I guess, advice for coaches, is to think about your team's strengths, and you can, within the confines of that 6-page problem guide, you can highlight your team's strength in both the storytelling and in the style.
You know, just to build off what Justin was saying there, Ryan, we had a student who was so vital to her team. However, she did not have a speaking role in the entire long-term problem. However, I think a lot of us would agree that she was one of the most valuable pieces of the long-term team. Kate, can you share with us what you created? And keep in mind, Ryan, that their answer had to be fit into small space available for this problem. So, Kate?
So, we used pipes to make our backdrop, and we also had to change the set. And so, we changed it from a normal square to a bow. And it was only using pipes and fabric.
Sydney, go ahead, quick.
So Kate was kind of the one that like helped us with the set the most, and she was kind of the leader for the set. So she would like tell everyone what to do and how we can help her. And basically she was like the behind the stage hands while everyone was out front, and it was, and she did a very good job at it, and that's why she wanted to do that, because she's like pretty good at like engineering and stuff, and like
she used PVC piping and bungee cords to create a set that could be put together in 20 seconds.
So you've got the musicians, you've got the engineers, you've got the costume designers. It's all the makings of an Odyssey of the Mind team, right? Having students with all different skills that can come together and for one common purpose, which is kind of a neat thing. Now, so we're talking about these skills, and some of them, it sounds like, you know, you had coming in as Omers. Is there anything, did anybody learn something new? Something that they didn't think of before, and maybe it's something that has inspired you. I see a couple hands going up.
Aaliyah?
By far, stage fright. Before, like in third grade, I could not get up on a stage or say anything in front of like a huge crowd of audience. But then my first year of OM, like, let me like stand on a stage and have a part and actually talk.
Sure. And anybody else? I saw some other hands going up. I'm going to let you call on him, Mr. Mac, because you...
Trooper?
Okay. I feel like same with Aaliyah, but mine was getting back on the stage, because before I did Odyssey of the Mind, I was actually in a couple of plays, and I kept thinking, oh, I don't think this is really for me. I mean, I don't have that good memory, but then I got into OM and it really helped me get back on stage and helped me remember things more and definitely helped with my memory.
Dana?
I just want to say, before OM, I have been in a lot of plays, but I think after it, once I went into IM, I realized that it was not just like a performance. It was literally embracing your talents to some of the most important people in your life. Like, I would stand there. I would scream my head off. I'd feel fine, though, because I did it the way I wanted to.
Right.
I did it me.
All right. When we were working on all our boards, did anybody learn any new techniques or anything like that that they then used later on? Dustin, you want to share?
Well, I mean, now I know, like, what to do. Like, now I can copy stuff easier. Now, if it's, like, I want a blah, blah, blah. I want an artist's workshop. Well, maybe I can, like, well, now I can think of it and do it. Because before I was only really good at like copying stuff, and I would do it really good. But now I'm good at both. I'm good at like just painting with stuff in my head, and painting, and I mean copying.
And for me, one of the things is that I learned now that I'm in my fifth year. Hopefully, I won't regret these words. Is that every year, at least from my point of view, I get slightly less anxious because I just know it's been done before. And so when you're, you know, a month out and you have to change this element and this isn't done and this isn't done, it just has a way of working itself out, even in terms of the nitty gritty, like transporting boards to competitions. I remember this year.
Mr. Salsky, I just brought a new truck.
Oh, well, that's going to make life easier. But before that, you know, there was a board and a parent volunteered to put it in their minivan. And they were looking at the board. They looked at me. They're like, there's no way that this is going to fit in the minivan. I have a sedan. Like, I couldn't even help. And I just said, it will work. Don't worry. Because I knew that in the past, a board of that size did fit in the same size minivan. And it did work. And, like, I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. But you just have to have a belief that, like, things will work out.
And that's an interesting little logistical challenge. Again, something... somebody who's new to the program might not think about is even how do you get everything to competition? That never mind the students, but also their creations.
You call right. Pat Carlucci.
we'll consider him the sponsor of this podcast. Then call him up if you need your props moved. So, and you mentioned finding parents that are helping move things. How about finding judges? How is that, you know, go? Do you have parents who are volunteering to judge, or how do you find your team's judges?
I mean, for us, in New York, maybe the requirements are less stringent, but we're required to provide one judge per team. Mm-hmm. And for us, that's not an issue. You know, we reach out to people in the community. We have former Odyssey parents that like to do it. Generally, the parents themselves, they're always welcome to judge. We invite them to judge, but understandably, they want to see their own kids perform. So our judging is generally the parents of former Odyssey students, school staff that are interested in the program. My dad judged this year for the first time. He actually went to Binghamton University, so kind of the plan was for him to judge and then get invited to judge at state so that he could kind of see it firsthand, but obviously it didn't work out because of the pandemic, but maybe next year.
Yeah, hopefully next year. I know we're in Pennsylvania, we're already talking about what is our tournament, what are our regional and state tournaments going to look like next year, and are there certain measures and scheduling and limiting spectators and that kind of stuff that might have to still happen? We don't really know yet, you know? So it'll be interesting. I guess it's a good thing that the virtual world finals happened, because we proved it can work, right? But hopefully we're all back in person again next year.
I mean, I just think that it's a testament to why we need Odyssey of the Mind, because we need students that know how to communicate with each other. We need students that are confident, that can stand up for themselves and say, like, I know what you're saying is wrong. This is the right way to treat X, Y, and Z. So I think that global issues like racism and the pandemic only prove more about why we need to nurture the talents of our young kids.
Right. And that's Odyssey of the Mind is all about creating problem solvers that work together. And that's definitely something the world needs right now and always has needed.
And just to jump on what you're saying, Ryan, about what the world needs right now, if you look at the screen right now, for those of you who can see it, Long Beach is a very diverse community with people from all different backgrounds, all coming together in the same community. And all these kids come together to form one team, one family with one goal. And we're so proud of them for achieving their goal of getting to Worlds, competing in Worlds, making us proud, and for the first time ever, even placing at Worlds.
And now, after they're done with fourth and fifth grade, does the program continue then? Do they have the opportunity to keep going?
Yes, there is a middle school Odyssey program.
Okay, great. Good. So everybody's, I hope all these faces are going to be back on a team again next year. Is that safe to say?
We're doing everything we can to keep
Well, I definitely don't want to keep you too long, but also if you have, I'd love to hear any other kind of stories or conversations that you think would be helpful. So if there's anything you can think of
if any child wants to add their voice, this is your chance.
Yes, this is the open forum part of the, just don't all unmute at once, yeah, or else no one will be able to understand us.
We will call on Sydney. Go ahead, Sid.
So when Mr. Mack and Mr. Solsky, when they were talking about like how they like get like nervous while we're in spontaneous, like I always remember Mr. Mack is kind of like just trying to get us ready in the room, and like we usually like go in there before, and we usually like play games to like kind of get our minds working and stuff. And also they always, every single time we do something, like after long term, it always works out somehow. And so every single time we're very surprised that it works out, because even if we think that it might not work out or something could fall over or something can break, it usually doesn't. So that's very surprising how that worked kind of. So.
Jordan?
Can I just add to Sydney? Whenever we're nervous, we did this thing last year. It's like, and it kind of like, it's our team thing, and we kind of just like do it when we're nervous.
Shayna?
I just wanted to say, I'm just extremely happy that, like, when I first got here, I knew I was talented. I knew I was like very into myself. But yet when I went into OM, I like found out all my talents. Turns out I am extremely good at screaming with acting. I'm extremely good at that. Also, I am very good at acting like a psychopath. very good at that. So here's a little story about after OM practice. So one OM practice, they were talking about what we should do, that our jobs were. I knew my job was like rehearsing the song. So you know what I did? I created millions and millions of videos to myself about like tips to myself about like the song and basically everything I needed to know about IOM. I made like tens of videos. After I was done, I had no more room for pictures or anything. It was literally like one, like 3/4 full of videos to myself.
Charlotte. Thank you, Shayna.
Charlotte.
So like what I did, so I started OM because of my sister. And how my sister was in OM. And I remember like every practice I would sit there and my mom would let me like help. So what really scared me was like the first day that I was actually in OM. So I was scared like the first time that I was actually the build do OM in, because I've always just sat there and watched my sister do it.
Okay. Aaliyah?
I remember like kind of adding on to what Shayna said about how she took a bunch of videos to note her to herself. I kind of did something like that to rehearse my script, like to rehearse my lines. So what I did was I took a video of reading everybody else's lines, but not mine. And then I wore headphones, and then I just said my lines while everybody else was saying theirs.
Aaron.
So how Aaliyah just brought up the topic of lines. Learning lines was kind of a stressful point for me because I tend to forget things. So really you just have to like focus on your lines, and it's kind of hard to explain, like
you have to keep practicing
and you don't have to think about saying your lines right. You just have to like calm down, like take a few deep breaths, and then just say them, and then it just turns out great in the end. So yeah,
taking a deep breath is something that has been mentioned multiple times already. This is only the third time we're recording this podcast, and everyone has said how important it is to take a deep breath before competing. Was there anybody else who didn't get the chance who wanted to say something though?
Everybody got to speak, guys. It's just been a great ride, Ryan, especially with this crew. We have, I think, how many? 9 children that returned from our 4th grade team last year and were our 5th graders this year. And they've just really have done an amazing job. You've watched their leadership skills grow, their maturity, and just their level of closeness between the group. And it has just truly been amazing. The only thing I can really say that I was a little upset about was having to shave my beard. I hadn't shaved my beard in, I want to say, 10 years. My daughter had never seen me without a beard. And I made a deal with one of the teams that if we made it to Worlds, that I would have to shave. And it was a rude awakening when I walked out of the bathroom and my wife saw me. She had never seen me without a beard as well. It's since grown back. But that's just the level of closeness that we have with this team. And, you know, I'm proud of you guys. And it's amazing that you guys are 9, 10, and 11 years old. And for the rest of your life, you can say you are a world finalist. That no matter where you go in life, you have competed in a world final. That you are ranked in the world. And that's something that I know when I meet people, adults that are in OM, they still talk about that today. And they still brag about it today.
Right. Oh, yeah. Well, here I am. I haven't competed on a team in maybe 14 years and or so. And I remember every minute of going to World Finals and being a part of the program. It's definitely something that you'll take with you into your future for sure.
And one thing, icing on the cake, is that one of the two teams actually decided to do an Odyssey Angels project. I don't know if someone wants to speak about that.
Oh, yeah, that would be great.
Ryan, so our first virtual practice, we met virtually, and Sydney and Ben, Trooper and Little General, who have their hand raised now, were sitting just like this while myself and Mr. Solsky were explaining, all excited to go to Worlds, and their hands would not go down. And because we had promised them, we said, guys, even though this is our last practice, we'll get together virtually one more time just to, you know, maybe practice spontaneous or hang out. And in between that time, when we had left school, we were told that we would be able to complete at Worlds. And the whole time their hands were up, and I couldn't for the life of me figure out, why are their hands still up? And sure enough, when I called on them, go ahead, guys, you guys can share what you guys did.
So basically, I told some of the kids, like, from our group that I think it would be a good idea if maybe we can do Odyssey Angels to, like, help the nurses and doctors and stuff. And so Ben wanted to, like, basically sell my idea to everyone with me. So we both, like, made, like, a presentation.
So we made slides.
Yeah, and basically what we ended up doing is we baked, like, cookies and, like, treats and, like, we prepared fruit and stuff and made cards and posters. And then, like, every week to every other week, we sent them to the nurses and doctors at St. Francis Hospital, right? And one of the kids from my group, her friend was a nurse, so she gave them to her friend, and then she gave them to the hospital. And we kind of just were really happy to do that because it made us very happy that we were, like, helping others and stuff while also doing OM and, like, being very excited to be part of Virtual World Finals. So, yeah.
We also brought a wide variety of stuff. We had cookies and fruits and brownies, just so there's some stuff for everyone. And we heard from the nurses, and we've actually gotten pictures that some of our posters and stuff are hanging up around the halls. And we've heard from the nurse that they sell out like hotcakes. And so we're just really happy that we can really make some people smile. And we're just happy that we can be able to do this for our amazing nurses.
I think, yeah, Mr. Mack and Mr. Solsky, I think you're right about us. The world's going to be okay. I think we do have a good generation coming up right now. And it is kind of cool that you get to work as a team and be creative and use your skills that you learn in Odyssey of the Mind to do something good and to give back and to volunteer. And that's something that's really important. And hopefully you can use that and apply that in the future as well.
Yes. I mean, you know, Long Island and New York City is really unfortunately was at the heart of the COVID-19 pandemic. So despite doing distance learning, despite practicing for Odyssey of the Mind World Finals, the kids said, we want to do this Odyssey Angels project. And they even had to deal with pushback from adults, not from Mr. Mack and me, but some people are like, that's too much. Like, are you sure? And they said, no. They said, no, we want to do this. We want to continue. And they came third in the world while still doing an Odyssey Angels project. And Odyssey Angels, like Mr. Mack and I know, even though Odyssey Angels, you're actually allowed to have outside assistance, they couldn't have outside assistance because both Mr. Mack and I live in different counties. So we were geographically apart from the kids. They had to do that all on their own.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Well, before we end then, is there anything else that the two of you would like to add?
I mean, I think it was just very comprehensive. I don't think I have too much to add. I think that the kids, you know, spoke for themselves, and it's just a really amazing program. And I guess, you know, the biggest thing is that people don't know what Odyssey of the Mind is. Even the name is a little bit of a misnomer because it's not just about intellect. It's also about your collaborative work skills, your artistic skills, your musical skills, you know. So, and I also think that a lot of people don't understand what it is. You know, there are times when, you know, my friends or family that don't know what Odyssey is, they're like, what is this? Like, what do you mean? Like, you have to go to a
coach.
Right. And sometimes, right. And I read to them, like, I don't think I have it in front of me, but I can read verbatim from the problem guide. And they're like, wait a minute, like elementary kids have to do that. Elementary kids have to figure out a saying that is misconstrued, but that does have a meaning, or elementary kids have to design a box that I think is 62 cubic inches that everything has to fit in. They're like, how do elementary kids do it? And then I show them the video. I'm like, they do it.
It's just the most incredible program that I could be a part of on the elementary level. Like I said, I grew up playing sports at a very high level, and taking what I've learned throughout being part of a team and now being a coach and being able to see the relationships that are built throughout the program and to see just what young people can do is something amazing. And even my colleagues at work, they don't understand it, but they see a difference in me knowing that I've practiced that day, knowing that I have a competition coming up and seeing the pride in my eyes that, you know, my kids, they're taking on the entire world and it doesn't faze them at all. And they have started to create something here in Long Beach over the last, now with this group, myself and Ms. Sosky, the last 4 years of something that we're extremely proud of. And we hope that the district is proud of and our community can get behind. And, you know, it's one of the few programs that I know that we're competing on a world level against over 20 countries. And that's something to be said.
And one other shout out I realize is extremely important. We have Dr. Romanelli here. Also, our building administrator, Mrs. Connolly, is extremely, extremely supportive. We have kids from different schools that get bused to East School after school. And so she welcomes in every single child from across the district and never complains if we make a little bit of a mess, because as I'm sure you know, Odyssey is messy, it's inevitable. But in all seriousness, you know, she never, ever, ever once, you know, questioned what we needed in terms of at the building level.
That's great. So, well, do you have your closing prepared?
All right.
Ready?
One, two, three.
Long Beach Odyssey of the Mind
is the best of all
time.
Thanks again to Mr. Mack, Mr. Sulski, and all of their students who joined us for this week's episode of Podyssey of the Mind. Thanks to the parents, too, for getting their kids online to be a part of our conversation. It was pretty cool, and I hope you enjoyed it. Now, if you're interested in being a guest on our podcast, we're looking for OMERS from all walks of life, whether you're a team member, a coach, a parent, a judge, or in any other way, a friend of Odyssey of the Mind. We'd love to have a conversation with you. And while it was great to cross state lines and talk to these OMERS from New York, well, they're really our neighbors. We do share a border. We'd love to talk to people from all across the country and all around the world who have a passion for Odyssey of the Mind. So if you're interested in being on a future episode, just send us an email to podcast@paodyssey.com. Again, it's podcast@paodyssey.com. And finally, if you're interested in supporting the podcast and Pennsylvania Odyssey of the Mind, we're starting to ramp up our recruitment for the 2020 school year. Of course, we're not all 100% sure what that's going to be at this point, but we are still always looking to grow the Odyssey of the Mind program here in Pennsylvania. And one way we've done that in the past year is through our Jumpstart Grant program. So we'll be offering grants again this year to new memberships and also to memberships that may have taken a leave of absence for the last few years but would like to get their program started again. The grants will cover all of the registration fees, all of the tournament fees, and also give the students a small stipend to get started with creating their long-term solutions. So if you know an educator in Pennsylvania who might be interested in starting an Odyssey of the Mind program, let them know about our grant program. They can send an email to grants@paodyssey.com, and that's where we'll be able to answer any questions they have and hopefully mentor them through starting an Odyssey of the Mind program at their school or community organization. These grants are made possible completely by donations. If you're interested in learning more about that, you can also send an email to grants@paodyssey.com. And we can find a way that you can contribute and be a part of growing the Odyssey of the Mind program. Thanks for listening this week. We hope you and all of your loved ones are all safe and well. And until next time, keep social distancing and remember to always think outside the box. An Odyssey of the Mind. Gave a lot for us. Somebody